Yeah, you see, I just got this new pit bull terrier. Thing's better than a credit card. Went to the gas station the other day. Got a couple gallons of gas, some oil, spark plug, six pack. Man says that'll be $15.41. I say, well, goddamn, I forgot my wallet, but I did bring my credit card.
What up, dog? Indeed. That was not was with an animal song of sorts. What up, dog? As we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa, streaming live, of course, via, if I may say via, the station website, WMNF.org. My name's Duncan Strauss, and I'll be here till noon today with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Indeed, the show primarily seeks to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your phone calls and emails, from assorted other sources. But we're also quite interested in celebrating animals through music, comedy, and other means. We've always aimed for a spirited balance of those elements, as you can readily glean if you care to visit our website, talkinganimals.net. Indeed, the website offers archives of all our past shows, including our initial programs here on WMNF, which have featured an array of illustrious figures from the animal world, or notable folks from other fields who have a legitimate tie to animal welfare. Today's edition very much extends the show's tradition of speaking with fascinating folks from all walks of animal life, with the conversation we'll have momentarily with our guest Meryl Marco, the Emmy-winning television writer who created Stupid Pet Tricks, a signature segment on The Letterman Show for 25 years, and has worn a number of other hats, including that of TV reporter and radio host. She's also the author of such books as The Day My Dogs Became Guides and What the Dogs Have Taught Me, and most recently, Walking in Circles Before Lying Down, an acclaimed novel in which the heroine discovers, as her life is rapidly fraying at the seams, that she can converse with dogs, receiving particularly sage advice from Chuck, a pit bull mix she recently adopted from an animal shelter. We'll find out much more about this book, the dogs in her life, and other things going on when Meryl Marco joins us in a moment on Talking Animals. We'll also welcome your questions and comments for her at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. A little news and notes action quickly here. The Animal Coalition of Tampa, ACT, is offering a unique holiday gift this December for the pet that has almost everything. Snip and Chip is a combination of low-cost spay-neuter plus a free microchip for permanent identification. Pets that have these two procedures are protected and will live a longer, healthier life. For more information, call 813-250-3900 or visit the website actampa.org. That's ACT and then AMPA. actampa.org. For more info on Snip and Chip and that kind of info and other courses available on our website, talkinganimals.net, where we have a little calendar, critter calendar, we like to call it, of pet events and related things going on in and around Tampa. I'd also like to take a moment and provide a bit of editorial comment here. Quickly point out that my views do not necessarily reflect those of WMNF, but they might, by pointing out that the Ringling Brothers Circus will again be playing Tampa after the first of the year, and I'd like to ask you not to go. In fact, I recently noticed that three different units of Ringling are opening multi-night engagements within days of each other in Tampa, Miami, and West Palm Beach. And this confluence of big top arrivals prompted me to write an opinion piece that I submitted to newspapers in each of those markets, because I think huge numbers of people still do not realize the unending abuse and cruelty visited on circus animals, from the horrible conditions of traveling in cramped, poorly ventilated train cars or even trucks, to the brutal training these gorgeous creatures undergo. I mean, how do you think they get the animals to perform unnatural behaviors like tigers jumping through rings of fire or elephants dancing? It ain't by saying please. I don't have time right now to go into more detail about all the Ringling whistleblowers and footage documenting these horrors, but please take 2 minutes, Google circus animals, and read or watch a random sampling of what comes up. After that, I'm guessing you won't want to go to Ringling or take your kids. That's it. Thanks for listening to that. And going to just quickly also tell you about a New Year's Eve vegan potluck with bonfire and drumming. For more information on that, it's free, by the way. You can call 813-476-6436 or email newtampavegans@gmail.com. They'll give you the lowdown, and it's from 6 to 9 p.m. on New Year's Eve. Sounds great. Okay, let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy, with a nod to Meryl Marco and canine concerns. This is Brian Regan with a piece called Dog Barking on today's Comedy Corner here on WMNF.
Why would a dog bark at 3 o'clock in the morning in your neighborhood? What is that all about? I'm not talking about when there's two dogs doing, you know, whatever they do. Sometimes you got two going at it, you know. Hey! Do you remember when we were chasing that cat? Yeah. You got him mixed up with a stick. Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about that. That was fun. Yeah. I'm not talking about that. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about when there's one dog, you know, doing a monologue like at 3 o'clock in the morning. What are they doing? I think they just go out on the porch at that hour and just go, hey, it's nice and quiet. Why don't I bark it up for no reason whatsoever? Home, 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 home. And then right when you think they're done, hum, 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 the hell's the matter with you? I'm a dog. I'm barking. How do you argue with them? Wouldn't it be weird if people were like that for no reason? Like if some guy went out on his porch at 3 in the morning, nobody knows him. He's like new to the neighborhood, just goes out there, you know, hey! Hey, you all right, man? Hey, hey, hey! Well, hey, that's it for me. Thank you all very much, folks.
That was a piece called Dog Barking by Brian Regan, taken from his album simply entitled Live. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF. The station website is WMNF.org. The show website is talkinganimals.net, where all our past programs are archived. There are pieces written about us, pieces we've written, and more, including a calendar of pet events taking place in and around Tampa, program air dates, and a place to sign up for our email list so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guests and more. That's talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to welcome today's guest, Meryl Marco. So let me quickly outline a few important details about her, as I touched on a few moments ago. She's the Emmy-winning television writer who created Stupid Patricks, a signature segment on The Letterman Show for 25 years, has since worn a number of other hats, among them radio host and TV reporter, including Michael Moore's TV Nation. She's also the author of such books as The Day My Dogs Became Dogs, What the Dogs Have Taught Me, and most recently, Walking in Circles Before Lying Down, an acclaimed novel in which the heroine discovers, as her life is rapidly fraying at the seams, that she can converse with dogs, receiving particularly sage advice from Chuck, a pit bull mix she recently adopted from an animal shelter. The book has drawn rave reviews from the likes of the LA Times and the Boston Globe and many, many, many other publications. You don't have to be a veteran dog nut to enjoy reading this wonderful and wonderfully funny book, but it may have helped tremendously in the writing of it. So with a quick reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Meryl Marco to Talking Animals. Meryl, are you there?
I'm here.
Great. Welcome to Talking Animals. Thanks for joining us again.
Well, thank you for having me.
You bet. So, given that the name of the show is Talking Animals, I think it's practically incumbent on me to start the conversation asking about the talking animals in the new book. At what point in the process of conceiving this did you decide dogs would talk to your heroine, Dawn Tarnauer?
Well, I just, I totally love writing conversations between dogs and people, so I thought I'd never written it into a novel form before, but I've written short pieces. That book that I wrote called What the Dogs Taught Me.
Right.
Which is a book of short essays, has a bunch of different exchanges between people and animals. And so I wanted to, I thought I would, given that I had to write another novel, kind of put all my sentiments about people and animals in one place at one time, and that was, it was sort of built into the idea right from the get-go.
I see. And so obviously it's pretty fun to create that, but was there, were you thinking of a specific person when you wrote the words spoken by Chuck? Because, you know, he's just, you know.
You mean, was I thinking of a specific animal?
Well, okay, exactly. I obviously misspoke there.
You mean, was the dog based on a person? Because no, the dog was based on a particular dog, my dog Puppy Boy.
Puppy Boy, okay.
Yeah, who has the obsessive compulsive fetch mania that many a dog has.
Sure. And does he also have kind of that slightly world-weary view that the Chuck seems to see?
Well, world-weary, but mainly, like, can we just get over everything else and get back to
the stick?
I put something on your lap. If you just look down, there's something there for you. In fact, a friend of mine came over last night, and I was admiring how Puppy Boy, when he puts one thing on you, like, say, for instance, the squeaking dinosaur, then if you ignore it, then later, just not too much later, he puts the squeaking ice cream cone on you, and then a little bit after that, he puts the squeaking yellow ball on you.
So as long as you're following the theme, something squeaking is going to be placed on you until you respond properly.
Well, if you ignore all the squeaking things, then he puts the tennis ball on you, and then he would eventually, if you kept ignoring him, I guess, be under a mountain of things that he would be throwing.
Large,
but it gives you additional options continuously, and that's the nice thing.
Well, he's considerate in that way.
He's very considerate.
So do you feel like then, just given what you said about the other shorter pieces in this, I mean, does the writing, the dialogue just come so easily? I mean, do you even have to bother rewriting it, or do you just feel like, hey, here it is, and here's what Chuck says, and here's what this dog says?
Well, I have a lot of real specific rules about writing dog language.
Oh, yeah? What are those rules?
Well, they are that I try not to have the dog say anything that I don't think a dog would actually, like, I don't try to give dogs additional knowledge than beyond what I could imagine that they might have. I mean, I do add some stuff. I don't think actually dogs are quite as literate as I'm writing them, but I try not to have them know much about the stock market, for instance.
I see.
I stick with the stuff that I know they are preoccupied with, which is, you know, body lice and
squeak
and
toys
food and interrelationships between people and animals and the stuff around them. I have a feeling dogs are really visual and really all about what's right in front of them, you know.
Sure, absolutely.
Not so much on international relations.
No, they're a little weak on that, frankly, but, so am I. So then with those rules, when you create that dialogue, do you feel like when it hits the page, it's like, hey, this is pretty much as is, or is there a lot of tinkering before you say, this is exactly what Chuck would say here?
I do a lot of rewriting and a lot of rewriting. I rewrite endlessly until the day that somebody wrests the book from me and sends it off to a publisher. I rewrite and rewrite and rewrite.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I actually, people have wondered, I actually think that the different dogs have different voices. Like,
right.
When I write Puppy Boy, it's different than when I used to write my dog Lewis, who was much more enthusiastic than Puppy Boy in other ways. Lewis was the one who I used to talk about having a greeting disorder.
Right, right. Well, and in fact, the book is dedicated to Lewis, which
shed his mortal coil, much to my horror.
I'm so sorry. I sort of figured by the dedication that was the case, and I'm sorry to hear that. But yeah, he certainly sounded like a dog for the ages.
Yeah.
So,
well, they all are. It's
right.
Pretty much dog that's not right up there. They all are pretty great.
Yeah, that's true. But sometimes a certain dog or a certain cat just particularly grabs you
especially
even more.
If you get them as a puppy.
Right.
Or a kitten.
Exactly. So I'm just going to let people know this is Talking Animals on WMNF. We're speaking with Merrill Marco, the author most recently of Walking in Circles Before Lying Down. You can join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, or you can pop us an email at dj@wmnf.org. So, Merrill, it's hard to notice that Chuck, for example, has been adopted from an animal shelter, that Don takes a job working with, or caring for dogs. I mean, obviously, you know, dogs are a central part of the novel, but, I mean, how conscious were you in sort of making these choices, you know, like Chuck being a rescue dog versus, you know, some purchased...
Well, that's where my heart is. I always get all my animals from some position of, like, a rescue or a pound or something, because there's just too many dogs that are in a position of jeopardy. You have to get your dogs from there. I mean, I know people who don't, but there's so many dogs who have no homes. I guess in that way, I'm sort of the Angelina Jolie although I'm not going to Africa for my dogs. But geez, I don't even want to think about what's happening to dogs in Africa.
Right. No, absolutely. So
there can't be any, right? They're all in stew.
Well, yeah, it's yeah. Let's not go.
No.
Let's not go there. But it looks like we do have a call. Do you want to take a call
sure.
from one of our listeners? Okay. Hi. You're on the air with Meryl Marco.
Hello.
Hi.
My name's Don.
Hi, Don.
Sounds like a great book.
It is.
You know, I can't hear.
Here, let's.
So you have to,
I don't know, Don, if you could speak up or.
Hello, Don.
There you go. That's better.
My question was, I'm thinking about adopting an animal, and I was wondering what cues I should look for to be sure.
Could you repeat that for me, Duncan?
Yeah, is what clues? Is that what you said, Don?
Cues from the animal that would help me know that we'd be compatible with each other.
Okay, so like little signs and details and behaviors, in other words?
Correct.
Okay. Did you get that, Meryl?
No, I'm sorry. Okay. I can't barely hear that.
Okay, sorry. So what he's saying is he's thinking of adopting an animal and is wondering if you might suggest some clues, some behaviors, some aspects about the dog in question that might suggest that that Don and the dog would be compatible.
You know, I actually do have some thoughts on that. You have to watch out for, and well, my heart always goes out to animals that are really shy and really kind of cowering in the back of a cage and so forth, but oftentimes that means it's an aggressive animal. Yeah, you actually want a dog that will come up and just be friendly. I mean, animals that you have to coax require additional work and sometimes are frustrating. I mean, there are those of us who don't mind taking on that kind of a challenge, but an animal that gets along with other animals is a lot easier to own than an animal that has aggression problems. So I would look for that, the ones that are just are easy going with the other animals in
okay.
the pound or wherever rescue. Ask about that.
I think that answers my question. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Don. So Meryl, so I guess, yeah, what we were saying there, and this is actually the caller, of course, it hooks right in, is that yeah, certainly, even though this is clearly a work of fiction, that even there, you certainly sought to suggest the message that, hey, when in doubt, adopt.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm all for adopting dogs. I think it's very rewarding. And then, of course, you can always lord it over them if they misbehave and talk.
Right. Do you know where you came from?
Yeah.
And do you know what we went through to get you?
Yeah.
Looks like we have another caller. Let's Hi, you're on WNF. It's Meryl Marco and Talking Animals.
Hi, this is Rita. A couple of suggestions that the previous caller had questions about.
Oh, sure. Great.
Things I look for in a dog or a puppy especially, I like a dog that wags its tail when it eats.
Wags its tail when it eats?
Yeah. A dog that seems happy and not looking around, afraid some other animal is going to...
Yeah, that's a different form of it, because if you've got a dog that's exhibiting that kind of paranoia, then, you know, it's not that it won't be a loyal, lovely pet, but it's going to be extra work.
Right. It just seems like a nice, well-adjusted dog. Also, a dog that, when you give it a treat, doesn't chomp on your hand, but takes it gently.
That you can train a dog to do that, though. If you get a very young dog, you have to start in. That's one of those things is a really good thing to teach a dog
right.
early on. I couldn't agree more. My dog Lewis would inhale food, and you had to just sort of drop it from a certain height above him in order to give him a treat.
Right.
But it is, yeah. You can totally train a dog to do that if you get them young. When you get them older, then they still can be trained, but they take work. You know, it's a question. Some people really love to work on helping a dog who's already been damaged,
right.
but. Some people don't have the patience, and
right.
you got to know that about yourself. Otherwise, the dog ends up going back to the shelter, and that's
right.
horrible.
I'm kind of like you too. I have a space in my heart for the ones that seem at the back of the cage that seem not as assertive. But if I'm looking for an animal, say for my grandson or something, I want a dog that's a little more intrepid, that's maybe outside the pack of the puppies and. Kind of exploring on his own a little bit.
Well, that's completely true. The most difficult dog I ever had was the one in the back of the cage, and for the rest of his life I loved him dearly, but I couldn't even take him on a walk because if a stray dog came up to him, it would be a fight.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, there's just limitations. Getting a well-adjusted dog that gets along with other animals is a much easier road.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you. I'm enjoying the show. I just thought I'd add my 2 cents.
I appreciate it. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Bye. I think she added 4 cents.
Okay. Hi. You're on Talking Animals with Meryl Marco.
Are you talking to me?
I sure am, indeed.
Okay, Buster is barking in the background.
Well, Buster should have his two cents as well.
He should, indeed. I just wanted to say that another good thing to teach dogs, I've always taught my dogs, and I have had many. Right now I have this 80-pound Whatsit. I call him a Whatsit because I picked him up from a homeless woman in the cash and carry parking lot when he was barely five weeks old.
Aww.
So I am his mother, you know, and I taught him from the time he was little, kiss, don't bite. And
yeah.
I get him to, like, you know, he's got a very soft mouth, even though he's a big bruiser and everybody, like, is startled by him when they first see him. Because he looks a little bit like a pit bull, but I don't think he is. He's too big for a pit bull.
If you get a dog at 5 weeks old, you can pretty much teach him anything.
Anything. And he is just, he's a big bruiser, and he's a wonderful protector, but he's just a lover. He's as sweet as can be.
Aww.
And I always taught him, I teach all my dogs that, even when I've gotten them older, just say, kiss, don't bite, you know. And,
yeah.
And they don't bite. I say, no teeth, no teeth. And another thing, I've taught them all, no nose. If they go near the table with food, it's no nose. And they all know that. So,
or, you know, there's another way to look at it, which is that if you just allow them to just stick their head on the table, it's a really good way to lose weight.
Well, I
carry
my meals
gone
with them all the time anyway. So.
Well, thanks so much for calling. I appreciate
surely.
It. So, also, I want to let people know Meryl has a website, of course, Meryl Marco.
I do. I have a brand new website.
Yeah, it's great. It's really
MerylMarco.com.
That's right. So, I just one or two more quick things on the book, and then we'll sort of scoot around before we have to.
And actually, the name of the website is not TheExcitingMerylMarco.com. It's just MerylMarco.com.
That's right.
But
I'm
preceded by saying exciting.
Right. No, I think as long as the preceding even precedes the www, the exciting is fine. But now, as I was reading this book, Meryl, I was kind of, I don't know if I was mildly surprised. I guess I was sort of hoping somewhere along the line some dog would utter the phrase, let's go so we can get back. Was that ever any...
No, that was my father.
I know. I've always loved that.
You know, had certain things in common with dogs, and yet had other things. I've never known a dog to give as many instructions as my father.
Yeah, well, that just has always stuck with me from your performance. Are you doing much performing these days, by the way? Or?
Some. Yeah, not all that much. I have to write another novel now, so that's
oh, is that what's
so
next?
That it's got me wanting to go out and perform.
To get away from the computer?
Yeah, these writing the novels is really difficult. That is one bitch of a job.
But it seems like, just given all the other things that you've done over the years, some of which we touched on your introduction, that this seems to be nonetheless kind of where you're gravitating now, right?
It seems to be the door that opens.
Okay.
So I was always one for go through the doors that open.
I see. All right.
So there's doors I could keep pounding on, but this is the one that sent me a check.
I see. Well, that certainly makes it much more appealing. But
that makes a certain appeal right away.
Sure. And now, of course, as some people might know, your previous book to the one we're talking about, obviously, Walking in Circles Before Lying Down, was The Psycho X Game, right? Co-written with Andy Preboy?
That's right.
Now, are there any other, basically some of our listeners also might know him from his work as a singer, musician, while a voodoo solo artist covered by, Linda Ronstadt, Emmylou Harris, and others, and a musical, The White Trash Wins Lotto. So are any other collaborations of one kind or another in the offing, or?
No, I seem to be back on
the solo path,
solo writing stuff, and Mr. Preboy is out in my converted garage, which is now his studio recording.
Oh, great. Another solo album? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Good, good. Any sort of approximate release date for that? Or?
I'm not sure. He said last night at dinner, he said he's in the final chapter.
Wow. Great. Great, great.
Not that it has chapters.
No,
because,
but whatever that looks like,
whatever
this is the final one.
Whatever the chapter equivalent of audio is.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, cool. Now, I don't know if you're... Well, actually, this might address this very question. Is, you know, as we also mentioned, and I'm sure it's a mixed bag maybe to mention this, that you created Stupid Patricks some 25 years ago. And how do you now view this as kind of a quirky but positive fixture on the pop sort of cultural landscape, or as a...
I would be thinking about it more if I were getting checks from it.
I see. Again.
Since I don't, I really don't give it much thought.
Okay. But it's not some sort of cumbersome legacy either that you feel like you can't shake? I mean,
No,
just sort of...
I think it sort of belongs to the content of that show more
right.
than anyone really associates it with me.
Right.
It was, you know, I used to, I had a lot to do with the underpinnings and architecture of that show. And at the time, what we were doing was just thinking of everything that could be repeated over and over again. So that was, you know, in that the earliest days of that show, that and Stupid Human Tricks were two things we thought of that you could keep putting an ad in the paper and people would show up.
Yeah.
And it's spawned a lot, including the grotesque America's Funniest Home Videos, I think. Comes from that, I think.
Wow. Well, that's, yeah, I guess.
Which I watched the other night in great, complete, abject horror, but...
Yeah, that's, yeah, you're not looking to sort of necessarily be the spawning that kind of programming, I guess. Yeah.
No, but I mean, there's so much reality programming,
right.
programming anymore, all of which, I'm not sure where it all fed from, but... No, I guess I don't really think much about the Stupid Patrick too much.
Sure, sure. But it didn't sound like it really bothers you either. It's just like, it's just one of those things
well,
that you did
like
many years
ago. I had
ago.
About a billion ideas early on when we were putting that show together,
yeah.
and that was one of them.
Sure, sure.
But that one still is around.
Right. Well, and as our music director here noted when I was mentioning that to folks that you would be on the show, and he said, you know, and once she left, that show sort of, you know, went downhill. So.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well,
I think the show's doing pretty well. It's still, what is it, like 20 years later, 25
yeah.
years later, and it's still on. So,
and do you,
that means
when's the last time you watched that show? I'd just be curious.
I actually don't watch it, but
yeah.
I have seen clips on YouTube.
Okay, there you go.
That was, I saw, yeah, I've seen a couple of those.
Nice. Cool. So, all right, Meryl, well, unfortunately, we're sort of just at the end of our time, but just want to remind people again that the new book, Walking in Circles Before Lying Down, is really, I hope by now clear, it's a really fun read, and, you know, if you love
very
dogs,
dog-centric.
It's dog-centric, but, you know, really, I mean, even if you just kind of vaguely like dogs or just like good writing.
Or vaguely like circles.
Well,
or
right.
walking.
Or if you like laughing, or if you like reading. I mean, there's any number.
Or if you just want to own a book just to prove that, like, you're not totally averse to the idea of reading.
Right, yeah, you don't even have to open it. You can just take it over to the coffee place and just have it next to you. But at any rate, it's really fun, and it was a great read. And, again, the website is MerylMarco.com. And, Meryl, thanks again for joining us, and we'll look forward to the next novel in progress.
Well, thank you so much, Duncan.
All right, take care.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that was obviously Meryl Marco, and really nice chat. And thanks for the calls as well. And we're going to give away a copy of her book, Walking in Circles Before Lying Down, in just one moment. I am Duncan Strauss. You are listening to Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. The show website is talkinganimals.net, which I hope you'll visit to sign up for our email, check our archive shows and calendar of Tampa pet events, make suggestions for future guests or topics, check out our written pieces, photos, and more. It's talkinganimals.net. Okay, it's Name That Animal Tune. I think you know how this works. Can you name this animal tune? If you're the first person that calls in to name this animal tune at 813-239-9663, you will get a copy of Meryl Marco's new book, Walking in Circles Before Lying Down. So give it a whirl. It's a double animal song, kind of. Okay, you're the first to call in. What's your guess?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
I know. How about that for a gimme? That's a happy holiday quiz question,
wow.
is it not?
Wow, that was tough.
I know. So I'm going to put you on hold. What's your name?
Paula Thomas.
Okay, cool. If you don't mind, I'm just going to put you on hold, and I'll come get your information as soon as the show is over, and then we'll send you off the book.
Okay, fine.
Thanks for listening. Congratulations.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so we do have a winner, as you've probably noticed there. So that's enough, I think, Rudolph, is it not? Yes. All right, so we've just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals in WMNF Tampa. The program airs monthly, specifically the second Wednesday of each month. So we'll be back January 10th, and I hope you'll join me then. Meanwhile, please visit our website, talkinganimals.net, and send any show-related email to talkinganimals@aol.com. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Happy holidays. I'll be right back here on the air later today, by the way, doing the Sonic Detour from 4 to 6 p.m. and then again at 4 a.m. I know. Meanwhile, please stay tuned for NPR News, followed by Democracy Now! We'll return with another edition of Talking Animals, as I say, January 10th on WMNF Tampa. We're closing out today's show, as always, with an animal song. This is Davy Graham's version of Yellow Bird right here on WMNF Tampa. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you January 10th. It is WMNF Tampa. This concludes this edition of Talking Animals. NPR News is up momentarily, followed by Democracy Now! Roll it out with another little instrumental animal tune. Why not? Take care. Thanks for listening.